You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this wonderful, exciting interview with one of my favorite new songwriters. She's actually the daughter of a friend of mine that I've been singing with since middle school. Shout out to Lindsay. Let's welcome Miss Clara Nicole. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I love that you, first of all, I didn't know your, is your middle name Nicole?
It is, yeah.
Do you know what your middle name means? Because my real name is Nikhil, and it has the same root. I don't know if you knew this.
Tell me, what does it mean? I have no idea.
No, this is awesome. It's a great way to start the interview.
Yeah.
It means victorious people.
Okay.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
You know Nike, the shoe. The Nike shoe, Nike means victory. So that's why they chose that as their symbol and their whole vibe. So you and I, we're victorious people, and that's just the way it is.
So great. I love it.
How are you? I just read your bio, and I have to tell you, it was so funny to see you say you're like the rich, vibrant music scene of Provo, Utah. I was like, this is good.
So good.
It's like there's New Orleans, there's New York, there's LA, there's Provo. Right? But you know
hey,
what?
You make rich.
No, that's, you know what's cool about that is like, I love Utah. It's got so much cool landscape, people. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite people are there. And it's just like, it would not surprise me that there's so much good music happening there. Tell me what the music scene is like in Provo. Because I've never actually been.
It's really happening. I was actually so pleasantly surprised when I moved here. Because I was like, Utah, what's there? But there's so much music in Provo.
That's
do you know the Backseat Lovers?
Yeah.
Band. So they're from here. And wow. So like a lot of bands around here are similar to that vibe, but there's a lot of young people making music.
That's awesome.
So we just had a music festival last weekend. I didn't play at it, but.
Why not?
I didn't get on it. But there's a ton of music and there's like different music festivals like every season. There's a million venues that are open to new artists playing through. So it's just been really fun. And there's a lot of young people because it's a college town.
Right.
And so there's just a million bands popping up all the time and playing. It's really, really fun.
Whenever I think of Provo, I think the fun fact that I heard about Provo is, you know, the Paramount logo, the Paramount Studios logo?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I think the guy that started it had a house in Provo that overlooked that exact peak.
That's so cool.
That mountain is in Provo. So not many people know that. So that was the one thing I was like, oh, that's such a cool little tidbit that somebody told me that is from Utah. I was like, that's amazing. So it's so awesome. And, you know, we should mention that you were in the Los Angeles Children's Chorus just like me.
Yes, twin. That's so fun.
How many years were you in it? Do you remember?
Okay, I was in it from when I was 7 until I think 15.
Okay, you got one more year than me. I was in it from 86 to 93, so 7 years.
Wow.
I think actually technically, yeah, 7 years. It was 7 years.
I love it.
That's awesome.
And so I did it until I think it was the end of my sophomore year of high school. So
My voice broke, I think, right in my freshman year. And I don't know if you went through this. I definitely went through it. I was super sad because I loved being in that chorus. Like, it was the best. It was so much fun. And I know you traveled the world. You did all
that.
Tell me some of the places that you went.
I went to Iceland and Norway. That was like my big tour. That was like my big one I did. I went to Arizona. Super fun.
Yep.
San Diego. But unfortunately, when I was in high school and I would have been going on more, it was like right during COVID. So I wasn't able to go on more. But Iceland and Norway was the most amazing trip.
The trip I was jealous about is I heard they went to Brazil. Was that before your years?
Or I think it was before me.
That would have been an amazing trip.
That would have been so cool.
Let me tell you, I was one of the youngest founding members of that group. And our big gigs were like singing at Huntington Library or like singing at like a church like down the way. And then we started traveling to like San Francisco and Phoenix. And the first international tour we did was in 92. And it was one of the most fun trips I've ever been on. And it was just, my mom was a chaperone. I think your mom was a chaperone on one of the trips too.
Not for me, but okay. I think for siblings, she's all about it now.
I texted her, I'm like, you're living what my parents went through seeing me in that group. So like, I love that you're an alumnus. Mm-hmm. We're from that group. Tell me a little bit about that experience, because like I don't know anything about what the chorus was like after I left. I know they had music theory classes, they had ear training classes. Tell me what a little bit of that was like, because I have no idea about that.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me was from a super young age, it really taught me discipline. So yeah, we'd have rehearsal every week, and like an hour before that, we'd all have different theory levels through different classes, depending on what you tested into or if you had prior knowledge. And so for me, I had never had an experience where I had to like sit still and focus on something. And so I think it was really beneficial in that way, because it's such a unique environment. Right. And one of the biggest things I think for me is like I loved my director so much. So it was less of a, this is so scary, I can't. One of the big things that I remember is like you had to sit up straight. If your back touched the back of the seat, you'd like get in trouble. And so for me, there was a little bit of fear, but most of it was like, I was like, I want to make my directors proud of me. So it's such a loving environment, even though at times a little bit scary. But I think the biggest thing for me was being held to a certain level of professionalism from such a young age. And it really taught me to like take it seriously. Cause I mean, if people know me, they know I'm a very unserious person a good amount of the time, but I feel like being in that environment taught me how to kind of apply myself. And, you know, I know how to lock in now and like be serious when I need to be, which I think is huge.
My parents used to say that's the most well-behaved they've ever seen me. So
exactly. Seriously.
That's the parallel.
It's so good. But yeah, I loved LACC. I think it was one of the most forming things that I did in my youth. Musically, of course, it's influenced everything I've done. And also like just being able to, I don't think I realized until I came to college how good I had it.
Yes.
Because there's so many things that it was just part of what we learned and what we were doing every week.
Right.
Sometimes a week. And I mean, other people aren't fortunate enough to have that opportunity. So I'm so grateful that my parents, you know, signed me up for that and got me going with LACC.
It's such a special environment too, because you have so many people united for the same purpose. You're singing harmonies. It's training your ear. You're getting disciplined about music. You're working with orchestras. You're working on new compositions that were like, kind of avant-garde on some level, but also you're doing these classic, masses, or you're doing these amazing works by great composers. You're doing operas. Did you ever do any of the operas through the LA Opera?
I didn't do any. Well, did I? I like kind of did. I always did like the opera adjacent performances. But I actually never sang at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion.
What?
I know. What? That was like the one that I never sang there, but I did Hollywood Bowl a million times. Walt Disney Concert Hall was like my home for a few years.
That's amazing.
I sang a lot of other places, but yeah, I loved all the big performances. And again, like I didn't think I realized how good I had it until, I mean, I was applying for colleges and I was like, yeah, like this is my musical resume. And it was a mile long. And I was like, I've
learned
so much. It's so cool. Yep.
And it's like, you don't realize, you said it, you hit it right on the head, because when I went to music school and I went to college, I thought everybody had some kind of experience like this. And then you realize, oh my God, this is a very special environment that I was a part of and the opportunities I was able to get. And a lot of that's because you were in LA, because our industry is here, or New York on some level, but also the concert halls, the musicians, composers, all of those things. And then at the same time, too, you get this breadth of experience working with the LA Master Chorale or working with, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you just don't have that in every city. And it's just like the perfect place for all of that. And you still are allowed to be a kid, too, which is I remember one of our gigs, like they wouldn't tell us we were singing at a wedding and we pull up to the wedding. And, you know, our director was like, OK, guys, we're just going to file in. We got a quick rehearsal and then we're going to go straight to the rooms and come back. By the way, you're singing at Rod Stewart's wedding. And everybody freaked out. We're like, what? And then all the kids, all the guys were like, dude, he's marrying a Playboy model. And everybody was like, what? This is-? So it was like, you know, little things like that that I'll never forget. But also that level of professionalism that I know you've experienced where it's like, you almost have to grow up super fast.
Super
disciplined, and you have to. I don't know if they ever told you this, but they were like, if your nose itches, if you are about to cough, you don't scratch your nose and you don't cough. And that used to drive me crazy because I would just be like, oh my God, I don't know if I think I have to scratch my nose, but I can't do it. I can't be the only guy that does it.
You know, we learned all the life hacks. Like, I know how to stop myself from sneezing now.
What? Tell me this hack.
It's so interesting. You have to like force your tongue onto like the roof of your mouth.
Okay.
It's like a very specific spot. So I remember one time we were singing in, I forget. It might have been Carmina Burana, but it was at the Walt Disney Concert Hall. And I was like, it was like the quiet part. And I was like, I'm going to sneeze. And I was freaking out. And I just remembered they'd mentioned that in rehearsal one time. So I started like.
I think we lost you. We lost you, Clara. All right, I'm just texting you. I was like, click on the link. I'm like, I will never learn then how not to sneeze back if this just
lasts forever. Sorry, my internet went out.
That's all right.
Anyways, you stick it to the top of the roof of your mouth. Right. And there's like a very specific point. So I found it eventually. It was That's so amazing. Good. But anyways.
I'll have to remember that. So you probably did Carmina Burana. Did you do Mahler's Ninth?
I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you do, what other things? Did you do Bernstein's Mass?
I did. So I was actually in the big production that they did at Walt Disney Concert Hall. That was like my favorite thing ever. So they brought in a bunch of people from Broadway and we did like the whole production. We got to wear these like cool outfits. That was like one of my favorite productions. That was
I got to be the boy soprano that did all the solos in that. And I remember that was like the first thing that I was like, yo, I want to do this. I want to do this like forever. And I know that you fell in love with singing, but what was that moment of zen for you that you were like, I want to do this for the rest of my life? Was it in the chorus? Was it out of the chorus? Was it just singing by yourself and writing songs, playing guitar? We're going to get into all of that, but what was that moment of zen for you that you knew this is what you wanted to do?
I think there were a lot of moments in LACC where I was like, I knew I needed to do music in some way. And I think my tour to Iceland, there was like a very specific repertoire that I fell in love with. I was at a very, I think, formative age. I was like 13 years old, going through a lot. And I just found so much peace in the music we were singing at that time. So I think that was a moment where I was like, I need to do music in some form. And then I love classical music so much, but I don't think I ever was like, I want to sing in choirs my whole life. That was never kind of where I wanted to go with it. But I started writing songs when I was in fourth grade.
What?
Not good ones, but it just kind of became something that I needed and a very therapeutic thing for myself. Like I would write and it was how I, you know,
So wait, were you playing piano and guitar at this point?
Well, it was piano at the time, which is funny. Anyone that knows me knows that I am not very good at piano. It was just my little in C major on my little
piano. How is that possible? Your mom is a great pianist.
I have no idea. It just doesn't work for me. But my sister's an amazing pianist. My other siblings are. But for me, there was always just like a disconnect. Like I would sit at the piano with my mom and I would practice for hours and hours. And I think it was the coordination or something. But reading notes off a page, I couldn't do it.
Right.
And I figured it out now. Like I can do good enough. But that wasn't really my thing.
Your mom is a great sight reader. I remember that. I still can play any sheet of music in front of her and she'd just start playing. And I'm like, man, I've never been good at that. Like I have to like sit there and study and or either listen to it over and over again, and that's how I learn it. But if I just sit there and read, it takes me so much longer. I can read vocal melodies, no problem. Mm-hmm. I can read piano music, but not like she can just look at anything blindly. Yeah. And it's like
so hard.
So I get it when sometimes piano doesn't come to you right away. So don't worry, just stay with it.
It's okay. Now it's okay. But I'm really grateful I found the guitar because I'm like, I can play guitar. That's right. That works for me.
When did guitar come in your life?
I think I was in actually probably like middle school. My brother played. And so we had a couple guitars around the house. And I think one day I was listening to, I think my mom used to watch the TV show Nashville and I wasn't allowed to watch it, but I loved the music from it. So I was like, I wanted to play just one song from Nashville. And so I like looked up a YouTube video of like how to play these certain chords. And I figured it out. So my first song I learned by myself. And then I think I learned like a little Taylor Swift song and I would just like strum down. It was like my favorite thing ever. And then my brother had a teacher and I was like, I want lessons. So I started taking from this little high schooler in our city. Awesome.
I wish I had a guitar in my life in high school. I started when I was in college. So I feel like I'm playing catch up. But I love that you started so early and then you just started writing songs on guitar. Did you just gravitate towards, I'm going to write on this instrument because this makes me feel like I'm aligned? Yeah.
I think my writing, it's really interesting. My writing is very different on the piano from my songs on guitar. And honestly, I feel way more comfortable with the guitar. So I end up liking those songs a lot more. And I feel like I'm able to do what I want to do and convey what I want to convey. So yeah, I like writing on the guitar, but I can play.
Well, this is a question for you because I feel like this. When I write on piano, I feel like I write really sad songs on piano.
Me too.
I write on guitar. I'm like, oh, we could party on this instrument. We could dance. We could do some fun stuff. But on piano, I'm like, let me show you all my moves. Yeah. Let's be sad for a moment, and I'm gonna play the piano. But I always like I'm envious of joyful piano players because I'm like, yo,
I can't.
Yes.
Maybe for me, I'm like I'm not good enough at piano to do that. For me, I'm like I can play my chords and write my sad girl songs. And I do write a lot of sad songs on the guitar too, but I'm able to write happy songs as well.
You're a great writer. You're great. And you're a great singer too. Like, you know, it's funny because it's like you did the Songwriters in the Round. And I remember I was like, hey, are you available to do this? And you were like, yes. And then you started singing. And I was like, my goodness, you are too good to be that young and that good at it.
Thank you.
Now, let me ask you this. And you're very good about like promoting yourself and you just started making records. Tell me what that transition was like for you, because I know that's a huge step because you're now the artist, you're the soloist, you're the singer, you're the composer, you're the musician playing. Tell me what that experience was like for you.
I think, honestly, when I started recording, I think it unlocked like a new side of my brain. And it kind of allowed me to be way more creative and kind of lock into, I mean, my choir background and everything. So I've loved that process. But I remember it was in the midst of COVID and I had so much downtime and I just ordered the little, I think it's the Solo Scarlett little interface. It comes with a microphone and interface, couple chords. And I ordered that and I just started doing it. And that was like the funnest thing ever. And I mean, it took me a minute to kind of figure it out, and I'm still
There's a big learning curve. I can't do this right now. Yes, but once you get going, it's like
it's so fun. My god,
it's like liberating because you can just start laying down ideas and just start you know, making things mm-hmm. happen. So let's play something. Let's kick the door wide open and show people what you can do, because it's going to be pretty amazing. So what song do you want to play first? Your choice.
You want to start sad, or do you want to start?
Your choice. You're the artist. You're the chef tonight. Okay. You're going to play us the songs. You tell us what you want to start with.
Okay, we can start with Convinced. It's my latest release.
We're going to talk about this after we play it. Here's Convinced by Clara Nicole. Goodness, I got chills, girl. My goodness. So pretty. Great guitar work. I love the double vocal on the lead. It's very Elliott Smith. Are you an Elliott Smith fan? Like, how did you
I don't know who that is, but I'm gonna have to give him a listen right after this.
So Elliott Smith is famous for exactly that. Same with Jack Johnson. Those two, when I think of the double vocal, like the vocal doubles.
Yeah,
those are the two artists I think of. Elliott Smith did the entire soundtrack or some of the biggest songs for Good Will Hunting. That's what made him famous. He has like kind of like dark, like kind of sad songs, but they're really good. Figure Eight is the record that was made that famous. And Jack Johnson, all of his vocal doubles, he's kind of brought it into the modern age. And so tell me, like, what made you do that? Did you work with somebody, or did you kind of like want to do a vocal double and you're like, I want to do this. This is cool.
Okay, so I had never done that before. Since then, I've done that. But this song, I actually had a random kid knock on my door of my apartment a couple months ago, and he was like, it's a long story, but he was like, is this your cat? And I was like, no. He was like, is that your guitar on the floor? And I was like, yes. And so anyways, he ended up coming in with the cat, and I'd never met the guy before, and we just kind of started jamming, and we wrote that and recorded it in literally, I think, the first 12 hours we knew each other.
What?
And he's a really awesome producer. Like, he's never been trained on anything, but he's just got a really good ear for things. And he was like, here, like, try it like this. And so we worked together. I wrote it, he produced it, and we recorded that little demo. And then the next day he came back, and we were looking for, anyways, our external hard drive had crashed. And so
I've been there so many times.
It's the worst. And so all we had was that little MP3 from the first demo. And so for the longest time, I was like, it's never going to be the way it was, yada, yada, yada. And so eventually I was like, I'm just going to release it. So that's what that is. That's just the original demo.
That's amazing.
I love it. It's imperfect, and it's the best. But so he was like, I think this would sound really good with a doubled vocal. And I was like, sure, like, let's try it. And I think it sounds really
good. Sounds amazing. Such a great song. It just puts you, it's like almost like it's one of those kind of songs you want to listen to in a soundtrack. Like, you want to see it in a movie. I mean, that's exactly what I thought, because it's got that Elliott Smith vibe. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think of. I think that Good Will Hunting, there's a great scene at the end of the movie where there's just a car driving and one of his songs is playing. And I'm like, that, you need a closing credits sync placement for that song, because it's I'm going to give you a little tidbit of information that you're going to love if you ever read it. So I've lost many external hard drives. Mm-hmm. There is a company that they're actually here in LA. There's a couple of them called Melrose Mac. And if you ever need data retrieved from an external that has crashed, they have saved 85 to 90% of my external hard drives. And then they even gave me a company that the FBI uses that you can mail it to them. And so I mailed the external hard drive to this company that works for the FBI, and they didn't get anything even close to what this company did.
Oh my gosh.
So if you ever need an external hard drive, don't throw it away. Just save it. Bring it home on your trip and take it to Melrose Mac. They're the best. I can't believe I should be endorsed by them, because I'm telling you this.
Yeah, seriously. I'm telling
you this from experience. You will have many external hard drives, hopefully not many, but
yeah,
things like that happen, and it's the worst feeling ever. But that is an amazing save, because
I know
that demo sounds production ready, album ready. And what did you do? You released it on all the platforms? Where can people find
it? Yeah, it's everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your music. It's on YouTube, just from like the little automatic I use from the distributor they put on there. So
DistroKid, is that your distributor?
DistroKid.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that everybody uses now. Now I want to talk about the artwork. Who did your artwork? That was really cool.
So I had my friend Thomas actually came over after I'd met that guy. And so he did some of the guitar. I played most of it, but he did a little whatever. And so he loves that song. He was the one that was like, you just need to release the demo. Like, just do it. And I was like, no. And he was like, just do it. Like, you'll regret it forever if you don't. And so he was like, I took this picture on film the other day. And so he sent it to me and was like, just use this. He's like, I think it's perfect. And I was like, okay. And then I put that into Canva and found a cute little font. And
I use Canva all the time. I love Canva. What's cool about it is it's like artsy fartsy. It's like an artsy fartsy picture. And I'm like, this is like, it's like straight out of like a 1970s singer-songwriter album cover, because it's got like that look and that vibe.
Yeah.
So I was like, Clara's too young to like be into the 70s artsy fartsy. Like, there's no way. So I was curious. But also, it's really hip that you used it, because it shows that you're an artist. Like, you use that to represent yourself and to represent this song. Let's talk a little bit about the experience of you recording it. What was that like for you? I mean, I'm sure it was a little bit like, oh my God, it's like, did you go through I call it answering machine syndrome, when you hear your voice for the first time after you record it and you're like, oh man, that's a little bit different than how I hear my voice when I'm singing. Did you have any of that kind of experience?
With that track or with other songs?
Any, but that song in particular.
That song in particular? honestly, I feel like I've gotten to a point now where I am pretty comfortable with how I sound recording just because I do it all the time.
That's good.
But I mean, the doubled vocal, I was so excited about it. Like, I hadn't ever done that before, but I was like, that's so cool. And so I thought it was awesome. I mean, it kind of sounds like I sing very breathily lately. A lot of my new stuff is very much in that style. And so I think I'm used to that sound of myself more than I was, I don't know, a couple years ago. So I just thought that it really elevated how I wanted it to feel. So yeah, recording it, we literally just used my little Scarlett microphone.
Awesome.
It was so chill. We were on the floor of my living room.
What?
And so there's like background noise in that was what we were going to fix in the vocals. But I'm like, oh, it just kind of sounds like rain almost. And so I kind of came to terms with it after a while. And I was like, you know what? I think I like that. Like, I do like that.
Well, as you keep making records, you're going to leave more things like that on.
Yeah.
Because, sure. You know, it's like when you first make records, you want everything to be perfect. And mm-hmm. then as you get more seasoned, you like the little things that remind you of certain things. There's one record I did in Memphis at Sun Studio, and you hear a truck like just slowly going by, and one of the engineers is like, do you think we need to take that out? And I'm like, no, I want a little bit of Memphis in there. Like, that's we're awesome. In Memphis. I want to like remember that little murmur that nobody mm-hmm. will ever notice or hear or be able to, you know, pick out. Mm-hmm. But it's like those little things add to the personality of recording. So
I hope you
continue to do that, because that's the artist in you. That's the artist. Let's leave that in, because that's for you and nobody mm-hmm. else. Nobody will ever notice it. But you'll notice it and you'll remember it. It's like one of those things that you'll hold on to. So the process too was, did you find it gratifying? Did you find it like a little bit of a struggle, an obstacle? Tell me what that was like for you.
With that song, I feel like I have very few songs that it goes like this, but I feel like it just happened so organically. And it was literally like, I didn't even know this kid's name for the first like 3 hours he was over. And then I was like, what's your name? And so then anyways, it was kind of funny. But it just happened very naturally. And he'd pulled out some, like, an idea for a song from his notes app. And we were like, oh, let's write something. And then I just started playing the chord progression. And I looked at a few of his lyrics. And then I just, like, started singing the words. And he was like, it was one of those moments where it was just like, yeah, that's right. And so we busted it out really fast, and then we started recording, and it was super easy. And that doesn't always happen when I'm recording things,
right?
But I just feel like it was so fun. It was just one of those experiences where I was like, this is what it's about. This is why I love doing this, because it's just so natural.
It's always new. I actually just did a production. I was producing an artist right before you knew that. I texted you about it. Mm-hmm. And I left at 7:40. And I was like, man, if I'm late for Lindsay's daughter's interview, she's going to kill me. I literally pulled in at like 7:58, ran upstairs, sat down, and then you showed up. I'm like, perfect. I'm right on time. This is perfect. Anyways, I love that you're learning the process. Mm-hmm. I love that you're already a seasoned vet. You sound like a seasoned vet.
Thank you.
It's just awesome. Let's play the next track. What are we going to play next?
Hey. We can do Happier, 60 Residential.
Okay, tell me a little bit of a backstory behind this song.
Backstory, that's important for this one. Okay, I have one of my best friends from high school. He's awesome, but chronically late. And so one day he'd like called me and he was like, Clara, you need to come over right now. And I was like, I'm in the middle of something. He was like, no, like, you need to come over right now. We have to go do this thing. And I was like, okay. So I zoom over to his house and I noticed that I had driven 60 miles per hour in a residential area, which I'm not proud of, but anyways, so that's kind of where that came from. And I'm waiting outside of his house and I call him and he's like, okay, cool, I'll be out in a few. I ended up waiting like almost 20 minutes for this guy. And so in the meantime, I just started writing like a little bit, because that's what I do when I'm bored, I guess. And so I was so mad at him, and I was like, I'm gonna write a song and send it to him later. And so I wrote like the first verse and I sent it to him later, and he was like, wait, this is kind of good, like, you should write a second verse and make it a real song. And so that's what I did.
But you're like, I'm gonna show him
Yeah.
He said, "Never be late again." I'm going to just Taylor Swift this song.
Yeah.
Make sure he knows. No, that's awesome. No,
we're still cool. Good friends.
But you know what's awesome is that you use that time to create. That's the true sign of an artist, when it's like you use any moment to just create and make something. What's the name of this song one more time?
60 Residential.
Oh, I like it. 60 Residential by Clara Nicole. Here it comes.
You only tell me that you love me when you need me to drive. Let me pay for every meal and then forget to say goodbye. You tell me I'm your person when there's no one better around. And somehow I'm always down, down. The second that you need a thing, I'm breaking laws to be at your side. I'm driving 60 residential, still you're never on time. Why do I keep pulling up to be thrown to the side? 60 residential, that gas money's not light. 60 residential, then I'm waiting another 16 outside. Da-da-da. Oh, baby, you know you drive me crazy when you do that thing with your eyes. And no one's pulling up to save me when I fall for the 17th time. Is it something in the air that's pulling me to your house every night? You know you drive me crazy, but I'm always on time. I'm running stop signs to get to your place. So why am I stuck outside having to wait? When I'm driving 60 residential, still you're never on time. Why do I keep pulling up to be thrown to the side? 60 residential, that gas money's not light. 60 residential, then I'm waiting another 16. Oh, there's no speed limit, could let me my love for you. But your punctuality's a nightmare come true. 60 miles per hour flying to you. You think you put in a little effort too. When I'm driving 60 residential, breaking laws left and right. One day you might know this, but by the time you do, what if I've already crashed and died?
Awesome. Two things I'm going to say. You coming into that vocal bridge, that bridge with that vocal was awesome. That was, I love when a bridge kind of busts down the door like that. It was just awesome. Chorus is super happening. Very poppy. This is like a Natasha Bedingfield. I don't know
if her.
Like meets kind of like a maybe a Jill Scott kind of vibe. Tell me where the influences stylistically were coming from.
Well, this is one that I it's like one of my favorites to play live, and it's anyways. So it's really different because when I play it live, it's just me and a guitar. It's super fun, super stripped down, and it's still fun and energetic. But I took this one to Matt Battle. I worked with him to produce a few of my songs, and he's my old guitar teacher actually. And he was like, hey, anyways, it's a long story, but we started working together, and I kind of took this song to him, and I was like, I'm just hearing a cool bass line. I was like, do something cool. I just want it to be fun and groovy and just like, just fun. That's what I wanted. Cause I have so many sad songs. I have so many like downers. And even though this isn't like a happy song, I feel like it's energetic and it feels young. It's very angsty. So I kind of told him, I was like, just make it fun, make it poppy. Usually I go with a demo that I've done, and it's like, hey, make it like this, but better, when I've worked with him before. But with this one, I was like, you've heard me play this a million times. You know how I want to sing it. And I gave him whatever the BPM and everything, but I kind of said, do your thing. And I mean, if it doesn't go well, then we'll, you know, adjust a few things. But we only revised this a couple times. He kind of hit it right on the head. And I was like, sick. So this was Matt Battle kind of.
I think that's one of my favorite parts of the recording process, when you start to see all the elements coming together and they all started, like, you start seeing the finality of where the song is going.
Sure.
I still think that's like my favorite part of the recording process, because it's like, okay, you've tracked everything. You now know that it's going to sound like this, and now it's about mixing. But that like completion of like, oh, this is the direction of the sound. This is the style. This is the vibe. I'm sure you were rocking that unmixed demo when you first got this. All the time. There's not the best feeling. It's the best feeling. It is awesome. So I love that you took this approach, because it is super fun. Yeah. And like, I wanted to ask you too, like, I think I've talked to you a little bit about your influences. I know John Mayer is a big influence on you.
Yeah, I love him.
And there's a lot of others. Just list off a couple of really big songwriting or musical influences on you as a writer, or just like who you love as far as musicians and songwriters.
Okay, I don't know if you know who this is, but Lizzie McAlpine.
You're the one that introduced me to her. You were the
I
one.
I love her so much.
I think I want to say your whole family went to see her with John Mayer and Jacob Collier.
Yeah. John Mayer, Jacob Collier, and Lizzie McAlpine. Those are my top three listened artists every year. So I love all of them. Lately, I've been really loving Renee Rapp.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's amazing. So
I just saw her at Coachella. Coachella is like one of the festivals I feel like breaks artists that I haven't heard of
or the
next generation. She was amazing. She's got some great vocals.
Oh, yeah. She's from Broadway. So she's like legit. And I love that about her. So I love her. Who else? Lately, okay, this is kind of not controversial, but I, for a long time, I was like, oh, I don't like Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift these days.
She's great.
She's amazing. So I love her.
I feel like the production, like Jack Antonoff, I know is.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And he just does great production. Like he just, and I also love the Red record, because like the production on that is amazing. Max Martin is just, he's also a genius. So it's, yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong when you have like somebody that has that kind of spirit in the writing, and then you have great producers around her and great musicians. So yes, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I love her. Lately I've been getting into this guy named Alexander 23.
Oh, I've heard of him. I know.
He produced Renee Rapp's latest record. And so I went to go see her live, and he opened for her and then also was in the band and co-wrote and produced that album with her.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, who is this guy? And so after that concert, I went home and listened to his whole everything. And I really love him. I love the way he produces and I love the way he writes. So he's a big influence lately with just what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Who else? I love the Backseat Lovers. I love like the Provo in me. I love a little bit of like the more indie, like alt folk. I'm kind of loving that lately.
Have you heard the Teskey Brothers?
The who?
You should check out the Teskey Brothers.
Well, I will.
They're like my latest. They're like, it's like soul music.
Yeah.
Two brothers from Australia, of all places.
Oh, cool.
And the lead singer sounds like Otis Redding. I mean, I just saw him live at the Greek, too, and you got to check him out. Because you will just respond to his voice. He's just got one of those voices you're like, that's a voice. And the music's really great, too. So, yes. Who else indie alt-folk that you're influenced by?
I feel like lately, a lot of people I'm influenced by are like my friends, people I will see. So there's a band in Provo. There's a girl, her name's Jane Beeson. She lives in LA now, but their band's called Beeson. And they're one of my favorite bands to see live. And she's an amazing songwriter. So lately I've been like so inspired. Every time I go see them play live, I'm just like, okay, I have like five new songs to write. So there's a lot of that where I have like my friends too, that I'm like super.
Do you feel like that kick in the gut and the inspiration at the same time? Because like,
yeah, I'm like,
I think a lot of people ask me like, why do you see shows all the time? Like, because it keeps me writing, it keeps me, it kicks me in the gut, but then it also inspires me, and then I just can't stop thinking about it, and it just makes me pick up the guitar, pick up the piano, whatever it is, to start writing. Mm-hmm. So, do you kind of feed off that energy when you see a performer, or you just want to go home and just write right away?
Yeah, I actually saw moving to Utah again, I kind of started liking country more because just people.
That's the best.
It's so good. I saw Luke Combs over the weekend.
So good.
And I was like, I'm moving to Nashville. I want to be a country singer. So I think every concert I go to, I totally take a part of it into my writing. And I think a lot of my stuff lately that I'm writing is a little more on the like folk, alt folk.
Love it. Love
genre.
It.
So lately I've been really gravitating towards, I just like love live instruments and I love how real it all feels. So yeah.
I'm that. A huge Kacey Musgraves fan. I love Keith Urban. I love Willie Nelson. I love a lot of the outlaw old country too, but I love all music that's just it's like made well. Chris Stapleton, you can't deny that he's unbelievable. And the new girl that I think is kind of phenomenal is Lainey Wilson. She's pretty amazing.
She's awesome.
So like I love that you're influenced by so many different styles and you're getting that country folk in you because that's one of the things as a songwriter, it's just like, you're never going to not be influenced by that. But let's play your song number three next. What are we playing next?
Hey, this is Leaves. It's a sad one. I wrote it last fall, my first experience with fall. And this song writing it was, I mean, I played it at the Writers in the Round. So you've heard the whole spiel, but, this song is another one where it kind of just came to me. I was literally walking home from class one day under a tunnel of trees. And the words just came to my mind and my phone was dead. It was like kind of a weird moment, but I like got a little notebook out of my backpack. It was some spiral from a class. And I just started, writing. It probably looked crazy, but it was like the first lines, walking alone, tunnel of trees, path paved with stone, whistle and the autumn leaves. And that's exactly what was going on. And then the rest of it just kind of came and I ran home and grabbed my guitar and went to the old janky practice room. And anyways, it just kind of happened.
I don't even know if I've asked you this, but how often are you performing every week or every month?
Every month. Okay. So you're going to be mad at me. I like just started performing, I played at a couple open mics and stuff, but like actually having my own shows, I've had two in the past 2 months. And so since then, I've had a few like venues like reach out.
You're still in school, that's understandable.
Anyways, I need to be better about it. And I'm gonna come home for the summer, and I'm hoping to have some more performing opportunities when I'm there too.
Well, when you come home for the summer, I was thinking, and I'm thinking about doing a big show somewhere on the Sunset Strip at a good venue.
I'm down.
Having you play with us. So I know Lindsay's like, oh, yes, it's happening. But it's on my mind. I was like, you know what? I'll wait for summer because we're going to probably do something in late August or July.
That's awesome. That's
June is a little crazy for us right now because we're doing a couple of shows and stuff. But let's talk about this song, Leaves.
Hey.
Did you record it around the same time? Did you record it with the same guitar teacher? Did you record it? When did you record?
Well, so I originally recorded this one in my dorm room. This was last year. So I was like in the dorms living on campus. And I was submitting it to a songwriting class to play it for like the showcase. So I came up with this demo. And honestly, like I loved this song before, but recording that demo, it totally came to life in a completely different way. And I was like, this is it. Like this is... like the harmonies for me were the biggest thing. Like I just started layering vocal track after vocal track. I think I was up to like 40 or something. It was like wild. And I think I narrowed it down for the final track, but I had a mix that I had done, which was it wasn't great, but it was really, I loved it. And so that was in the fall. And then last summer I brought it to Matt and I said, I want to do exactly what I've done, but on your good gear, your good recording stuff. And so we basically did everything that I had already done. And then I think we added a little more. I think we changed the string arrangement a little bit and just little things like that. But it's pretty true to the original production, but I also worked with Matt. So it's kind of a little bit of both.
I love that you're like a visionary with all this stuff too, because you kind of have to be. You kind of have to know what your production-wise, what you're going to gravitate towards. And I always tell like, especially young artists, like, show people what you're listening to. Like show people your I know you don't listen to CDs, but like show people your CD collection. Show people like who you're influenced by, because chances are those fans will start gravitating towards you because you're in that same you're in that same wheelhouse. Yeah, you're in that genre, you're in that wheelhouse. So this is called Leaves, correct?
Leaves, yeah.
Here's Leaves by Clara Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
birds whistle in the autumn leaves. I know if you were here, you'd hold my hand. But you're gone, that wasn't part of the plan. But I know.
So good. How are you not playing out all the time? This is crazy. You should be playing out. I'm gonna tell you something that happened to me last night, and maybe this will inspire you. Okay, so last night I played with my trio and had some I had some very cool special guests, one of whom played with Michael Jackson on the Thriller tour, and another guy who's a hometown hero from Arcadia. He plays at the First Cabin every weekend. His name's Pat O'Brien. He's an amazing blues guitarist. But this lady comes up to me and she said, I've been waiting years to see you play. She drove from Santa Barbara and she said, I couldn't wait to see this show. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much for coming. And she said, listen, my husband died a couple years ago. And she said, your songs have been helping me escape that dark time. And I said, I mean, I got chills right now thinking about it. Yeah. And it's like, we don't think about that as songwriters. We think about getting to the gig, making the record, always hustling. It's always a little bit of an obstacle. And I can't tell you, I haven't stopped thinking about it since, because this is why we make music. This is why we write songs. This is why we perform. It's like we're doing something that we don't always see the benefit of, that the people who listen to what we do, they reap that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's back when you get to make contact with those people. So you need to be playing out more. I know your mom is saying, thank you, Nikki. I've been telling her the same thing, but you need to be playing out more. You need to keep writing songs. You need to keep recording records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Putting them out there, because you have some serious talent. Thank you. I'm not just saying that. And we're going to play a show, because I should be helping you cultivate that on some level. So I will. But where can people find you if they want to find you online and follow you and find more of your music?
Everything is on my Instagram or my website. So my Instagram is Clara Nicole Music, C-L-A-R. It's right there, I guess.
No, spell it. My
spell is... L-A-R-A. N-I-C-O-L-E.
Like, how do I spell my name?
No, and then music, M-U-S-I-C.
You better know how to spell that.
I know.
I'll get mad if you don't.
Well, so that's my Instagram, and then claranicolemusic.com is my website. So everything is on both of those sites.
And you know what? We're gonna have you back in about 9 or 10 months.
Okay.
Which means you're gonna have to remember the songs that you played on this show. Okay. And you got to show us 3 more songs. So get ready. Get ready.
I have an EP coming out also.
Love it. When's your EP coming out? Tell the people.
In the next couple months. We're on our last song. I know. It's so close to being done. So we're still working on the title.
Okay.
There's been a few options. But anyways, so we're kind of wrapping up the process with that, and then that'll be out. And I actually wrote an entire album this semester.
Wow.
That is not recorded, but it's like 16 songs in an order, ready to go. So
that's amazing. Okay. I love that. And you know what? Don't take for granted that time where you're just like, I'm writing all the time.
Yeah.
Because you will hit roads where you're like, you're so busy that you're not gonna be able to get that. Mm-hmm. You know? So keep writing, keep playing, keep singing your heart out. Clara Nicole, you're a talent.
Thank you.
Amongst talented people, you are a talent that can really throw down. So keep doing your thing. And we're going to have you back. We're going to play a show together. You have it documented now. And say hello to your family. Your family is like, they're all such loving, sweet, amazing people. So give them a big hug from me next time you see them. Lindsay, Joel, the whole family, big hugs from me too. But thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Clara and her family, and my family too. And real quick, I just want to say happy birthday to my mom. Today's her birthday. So
happy birthday.
I know she's listening. So much love to you and your family. And on behalf of everybody else, peace, love, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. We out.
Thanks.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.